So we continue this week through the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. Last week we had the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, that Jesus took five little loaves of bread and two little fish, and he multiplied them and fed this vast crowd, this crowd of at least 5,000. And so today and next week, and then we take a short break for the Assumption of Mary, and then the following week, we will continue to hear from this sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, which has become known amongst theologians as the Bread of Life Discourse, because Jesus is discoursing, he's speaking with these scribes and Pharisees about this bread of life. And so amongst Catholics, this has become known as like our definite teaching on the Eucharist, that Jesus is trying to teach us about the Eucharist. And this, we have this week, in addition to Holy Thursday and the Feast of Corpus Christi and other weeks throughout the year that the readings emphasize the Eucharist. But we have this these full weeks here that continue to unravel the sixth chapter of John. And so why do we have so much time and attention devoted to the Eucharist, to the teaching of the Eucharist? The Eucharist is the center of our lives as Catholics. It is the pivotal moment of our life as Catholics. And the Church teaches us that the most august or most honored and worthy of our veneration sacrament is the Most Holy Eucharist, in which Christ the Lord himself is contained, offered, and received, and by which the Church continually grows and lives. The Eucharistic sacrifice is the summit, the highest point, and source of all of our worship and Christian life. And again, the Church teaches us that the Christian faithful are to hold the Most Holy Eucharist in highest honor, taking an active part in the celebration of this sacrifice, receiving the sacrament most devoutly and frequently, and worshiping it with highest adoration. So there's always more we could dive into. The mystery of the Eucharist is impenetrable. There's so much we could continue to go off of. And so at the risk of being boring or at the risk of repeating what maybe some of you have heard before, I want to just lay out the foundations of our belief in the Eucharist, as we begin this series. So it's by the command of Jesus that the Church continues to offer bread and wine in memory of him. At every Catholic Mass throughout the world, an ordained priest takes bread and takes ordinary bread and takes ordinary wine, and through the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, his repetition of those words, the bread and the wine are totally and completely transformed. That once those words are spoken, there is no longer any bread, no longer any wine, but it is fully and completely the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. They have completely and entirely changed. And yet, the appearance, what we see and what we smell and what we taste and what we touch, it still looks and feels like bread and wine. It's hidden. It's a mystery to us. But this word is, we have a fancy word for it called transubstantiation. Again, that what was one substance, what was bread and wine, has become a completely new substance through the power of the Holy Spirit and through those words. And as Catholics, we believe that God created the whole universe in a way called ex nihilo, out of nothing. He completely, out of nothing, he created all of the universe. And so it's also a firm belief that Jesus, or our God, can take something and change it to be something completely different. And this is why, as Catholics, when we come into church, we see the tabernacle, we genuflect, because we acknowledge the presence of our God in the tabernacle. That's why at the time of consecration, all of us will kneel down. It's not just a time for us to, get a little exercise in, or to, it's not necessarily to keep us awake, right? But there's meaning and purpose to all of our positions that we assume at Mass. And the position of kneeling and genuflecting is the position of love and adoration for Jesus contained in the Eucharist. And so what is taking place at every Mass? At every Mass, the chief sanctifying work of God is that death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that same death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is represented here on the altar every single Mass. The altar that we celebrate here, and every altar in every Catholic church throughout the world, is a symbol of Calvary, like where Christ offered himself in love for us. And so that's why Father and I will venerate the altar, we'll bow before the altar, because it is a place worthy of veneration. It's where the sacrifice of Christ continues to be represented to us for our salvation. And we offer ourselves through the sacrifice of Christ for the salvation of our lives and for the salvation of others. And I've seen some beautiful artist renditions of this, that when the Catholic priest is holding up either the bread or holding up a chalice, the artist depicts also Jesus Christ crucified in a kind of a veiled and mysterious way, because he's trying to depict what is happening beyond our vision, beyond our sight. And that is what is happening at every Mass. We also likewise, you may have heard that the Eucharist means thanksgiving, that the celebration of every Mass is an act of complete thanksgiving and worship for what God has done for us. The priest will offer or hold up the Eucharist and pray after the consecration, through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. And we respond with the great Amen. We respond with our firm belief that this is the body and blood of Christ. But it is in and through what Jesus is doing in the power of the Holy Spirit that God the Father is glorified through him. Through his sacrifice, God the Father is glorified. And so the greatest form of worship, the greatest act of thanksgiving we can do is come here with just full and active participation to be a part of the Mass and be a part of that worship and thanksgiving for what God has done for us. And what does it mean for us, or why is it important for us to receive the Holy Eucharist often and frequently, as the Church teaches us? One of the main reasons we hear from the letter of St. Paul today, that he tells us you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, that you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created in God's way of righteousness and holiness of truth. That when we're coming to receive the Eucharist, we're seeking to live life differently. We're seeking to live with our hearts conformed to the heart of Jesus Christ, his most sacred heart. That we're trying to get rid of our own selfishness and sin, and we're coming before the Eucharist, before Jesus as sinners, hoping to have a renewal of our minds that we might live as he loved us. And the more we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, the more we become like him. We become little Christs in the world, that we go out to share his love and mercy to others. And the most powerful way is like he is uniting himself to us, and we also are uniting ourselves to one another and to the saints in heaven, that there's this communion of saints, this communion of the body of Christ, and we continue to have that unity within the body of, or within the Eucharist. And one of the main things that the foundational, I think, points of the Eucharist that I could boil it down to is this, that Jesus, or that God, so loved the world that he became one of us. He took on our human flesh, right? That he assumed our sinful humanity and took it upon himself. But he doesn't just stop there. He also willingly lays down his life in a sacrificial love on the cross, that he goes through the most painful and awful and shameful and humiliating death for our sake, that we might live. And he so loves us that before he laid his life down on the cross, he took bread and he took wine and transformed them so that he could remain with us and that we could remain with him. That is the essence of the Eucharist. Now, lest all of this become just head knowledge, I know we can have that temptation, right, that just speaking the truth, it's a lot of just all up here and it's not in the heart, but I want it to hopefully these foundations to take root in our heart, that we might continue to love and adore the Eucharist with greater and greater devotion. And so I just read this quote yesterday that if you want people to know the truth, then tell them the truth. But if you want people to love the truth, tell them a story. And so this story is a true story. When I first heard it, I was moved to tears by it because it was just so incredibly beautiful. And it spoke so highly of what the Eucharist is. And so in around the 1950s, there was, throughout our 2,000-year history of our Catholic Church, we've seen great persecution, right, that people have continued to seek to destroy what the Catholic Church is and what it teaches. And so during the 1950s in China, the Chinese soldiers were directed to destroy Catholic churches and destroy the faith. They wanted to wipe out Christianity in China. And so what these Chinese soldiers would come into these churches and they would desecrate the altar. They would knock things over. They would steal the sacred vessels, the chalices and the ciborium. And they would announce to the people, you know, like, what you believe is false, it's fake, just go home, right? And so there was this one story where they entered into this small country church and they started to rip things apart. They started to tear things down. And they went to the tabernacle and threw it on the ground. And the sacred hosts in the tabernacle were scattered across the ground. And as the villagers came in, they started stomping on the Eucharist and making fun of the faith of the Eucharist, that it's all make-believe, right? But there was this one young little girl, probably no more than 10 or 11, because she had just received her first Holy Communion, saw what had happened, and she so was heartbroken by it that late that night, she snuck back into the church while the soldiers were sleeping, and she knelt before the Eucharist on the ground, and she just adored and prayed before the Eucharist for about an hour. And the priest, who was he was locked up on house arrest, he witnessed what was happening, and he was able to see a little bit of it. And she would just adore there for an hour, and then after the hour, she would bend down and pick up one of the hosts with her tongue and pray there for a little bit longer, and then she would sneak off once again into the night, you know, trying to, And then she would come back every night for about 30 or 35 nights. As she went before the Eucharist, she would do the same thing over and over again. And on the final night, she received the final host. And as she received the Holy Eucharist, she made a noise, and they woke the sleeping guards, and they chased her down and killed her. I mean, what a beautiful witness to our Catholic faith that this young girl had this deep, deep belief that this was Jesus. It wasn't just bread, but it was her Lord. And so, as we end, it's just like Jesus is trustworthy. We continue to hear throughout the Gospel of John that this divides his disciples, that many people will leave because of this teaching on the Eucharist. But he's not lying to us. He speaks the truth in love, and he wants to give himself to us out of this perfect love. And so place your trust in Jesus Christ, who meets our needs as well as our deepest desires of our heart, that we might remain with him. And he assures us, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst."